Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hola. Hello from my English speaking audience, which hopefully is 99.9% of it, seeing how I don't speak Spanish. Oh, it's going to be a silly one tonight. I can feel it. All right, let's bring Aubrey on.
Hi.
Hey, Aubrey.
How's it going?
Good.
We'll see.
Good. I'm feeling goofy already, and this is only our first one, so God only knows.
Going to be one of those nights.
Yeah, anything could happen. It's just, and I have a coconut with me.
All right. I'm not sure what's going to make of that, but oh my gosh, is that from your tree?
No, this one isn't. I got it on my way home yesterday on the side of the road, but they just cut it up for me. And then they just didn't make that little hole on the top. So then I just take my machete and I open up that little hole.
That's awesome.
And drink some cocoa water.
I hope whoever listens to this watches the video.
Yeah, you got to watch the video. I just drank cocoa water.
Yeah.
Fresh out of a coconut. This is one of my favorite things to do here. I love it. I love the water. And it's like, it's refreshing, but it has so many vitamins and minerals or whatever the hell is in it. Like, you can almost feel it, like, you know, like healthy stuff coursing through your body.
We love that.
Yeah.
It's got a high vibration to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we are. So, today... You know, I would say extra good space the last few days, and I don't think it's an accident. You know, this is what we're supposed to be. This is what's supposed to be happening. You know, there's this huge spiritual shift happening, and that the energy and the vibration keeps rising and rising. And it's, you know, we are, those of us that are on the spiritual path are supposed to be benefiting, you know? And sometimes when you're on a spiritual path, we're very sensitive to energy, you know? So we get knocked around by these energy shifts, and sometimes it's difficult to navigate. And then plus the separation in the real world is increasing. So like those, you know, the higher the vibration raises, the greater the separation between the two groups are, because those that are on a spiritual path, like, you might get knocked around and stuff, but you can come out of it and become in a more expansive version of you, which is the whole point.
Right.
But, and those who are not on a spiritual path and not even looking in that direction, a lot of times the suffering is going to increase, you know, especially if they're one of the ones that's supposed to awaken. Like, if you're completely shut off and you just ain't going to awaken this time, like this time around in this lifetime, well, who knows, you know, maybe you don't notice a difference. I don't know. I'm not that person, you know, like if you're so shut off to absolutely anything.
Yeah.
Think, you know, yeah, you can't really love, you can't really laugh, you can't really,
so maybe
you're not noticing that big of a difference. But I mean, as a general rule, I think we can see the suffering increasing on planet Earth, you know, like it's just watch the news for 6 minutes. You know, and you'll see. So it's, you know, it's getting, the suffering is getting worse, but those of us on the spiritual path, you know, we can get knocked around too, but I think, you know, it ain't supposed to be that bad for us.
Yeah.
You know, So we're supposed to be constantly evolving to higher versions of ourselves. So, oh, and Denise is sending me some stuff. Oh, some action shots about drinking the cocoa. Three times flares in a week from different parts of the sun. Oh, so I guess that we've been getting sun flares. Mm. Plus we've had the full moon.
Yeah.
Plus we've got Mercury in retrograde.
Thank you. I was going to say, if you refuse to put it.
Be accountable there.
Yeah. It ends Wednesday.
It ends Wednesday. You know, we've got all this stuff going on. And, you know, Mercury in retrograde, we're discussing this like last week a little bit. I don't like giving my power away. So I'm like, eh. But I have been around enough to notice that something goes on when it goes on. I won't swallow the fact that I have no control over it. You know, like, so I do believe that something happens with Mercury retrograde where communication, technology, et cetera, gets wonky and more difficult. And so therefore we need to be more careful, you know? So I mean, I buy into that.
Yeah.
I just don't think, like, you know, if I'm gonna, you know, I signed my lease for my business space during Mercury retrograde and everybody thought I was crazy. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not letting a planetary shift control how I interact with life. I think if I'm conscious and really ground myself, I'll be okay.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, if you believe that type of thing or not, if you're believing in energy and tides and the moon and Mercury and the planets and the way that they turn and how it affects us, all that, I think that it's just also like, if you don't believe that, it's just a reminder to kind of be grounded through the multiple seasons of life that are just going to happen regardless.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't have to, we just need to be a little bit more conscious and a little bit aware of some of these effects so we can navigate them better. You know, I think so with all these shifts and then, you know, this technique that I learned, it's applicable and helpful to level off these shifts and recalibrate your energy to the energy shift that's taking place. So I found it very helpful with that. But even if you don't believe in that, or you just have a bunch of ups and downs in your life and you just want to be a little bit more even keeled, this technique helps you with that. So, a friend of mine, Nancy, told me this years ago, because like my body is very sensitive to sound vibration. So like I did a tuning fork healing many years ago and I had a real dramatic effect. Like one of my biggest spiritual experiences was from that. And then later on, I forgot what the second one was, but it was something to do with sound. I don't remember. There was somebody that came to this spiritualist church I used to go to, and they were doing a didgeridoo thing. It might have been that, or might have been another tuning fork or a sound bath or a gong bath. I've done all of them. Whatever it was, I found myself being like kind of not attuned to my new vibration. And I was talking to my friend Nancy about it, and I referred back to the last one. I had to go into a meditation and kind of close my chakras down more because I was wide open and everything was affecting me too much. So I was telling her about that. And she said, well, instead of you closing back down to get to a place that's more manageable, why don't you just raise your vibration to match where you are? And I was like, wow, I like the way that sounds. You know? How do I do that?
How do I do that?
And, you know, it sounds so profound that I was like, oh, boy, you know, like I'm going to get some huge spiritual nugget. And it was this simple little technique. And it made so much sense when she explained it to me. So basically the technique is simply non-judgment. It's just simply not judging anything as good or bad. And the way it was explained to me, she said, she was like, so you have like, it, your feelings are very intense, right? And they're difficult to manage. I said, yes. So she's like, the high highs, it's really not that big of a problem. I'm like, well, no, not really. I mean, everybody likes to feel extremely happy.
You know? Yeah, that's not the issue.
Yeah, that's not really the issue.
It's not why I'm here.
Yeah, so it's the real low lows. So she's like, well, you know, our emotions are triggered by how we judge what's happening. If it's if we judge it as a good thing, then we can experience a high high. If we process it as a negative thing, then we're going to experience a really low low. So just stop judging stuff as good or bad. It just simply is.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, I'll try it, you know, and it sounded a little too simple for such a profound reaction.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I knew enough about non-judgment at that point to be like, you know, this is going to be good for me no matter what.
Right.
So I really leaned in and I did it. And like I focused on that every day for like a week, I think, maybe 2 weeks, but I think about a week. And I mean, it was phenomenal. And it lasted for a long time because I had focused on it for so long that I started just interacting with life that way, which is a healthier way to interact with life. You know, not deriving your sense of happiness from what's transpiring, because then we attach to it too much and we try to duplicate it all the time. And, you know, and this is all happening unconsciously, so we don't know we're doing it half the time we're doing it, you know. Yeah. Where this is, you know, I found myself walking around in deep connected peace on a daily basis. And did I still experience some high highs? Yeah, because I'll freaking allow myself to consciously. Mm-hmm. And I won't get attached to it. You know, I'll be like, oh yeah. Like I'm going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, I'm going to go skydiving and scream like a maniac. Like, yahoo, you know. Now I'm not going to get down and go, oh my God, when are we going again?
You know, like, right, of course. Yeah.
Because I'm not so attached to it, but boy, am I going to enjoy it when I do it.
Yeah.
You know, so you have more control over even the high highs, but what's more important is everything that we owe. And I've said this in a lot of different scenarios, what we're really seeking is not those high highs. Some people think that, some people get addicted to it, some people chase it. It's not a high high. That's, nobody can sustain that. That's not reality. That is a collective vibration called happiness that we can tap into like a radio station, and we can fly high as a kite for a certain period of time, but we're going to come down at some point. And when we do, it's going to hurt. So that is not what we seek. You know, that is momentary enjoyment that we can embrace. You know, it's still a cool part of life. I love getting, you know, like just so freaking happy or having so much fun. We can still do that. Like, but we have to understand that it's fleeting and it's temporary. And that's not really what we're seeking on this spiritual path. What we're seeking is deep, contented connection. You know, just that knowingness that everything is okay and we're good and we're loved and supported beyond measure and everything is cool, that we can function in, that deep contentment. You know, it's just like, there's nothing better than it. It's so much more powerful. It's so much deeper than those high highs that we think we want.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. So that's what we have to stay connected to.
Yeah. And I think I like what you mentioned with the non-judgment. I think for a lot of people it's difficult because just our brains, like, are meaning-making machines, and we have to assign a meaning or a label to everything, you know, like even on a subconscious level, you see something or someone, you're already making those prejudgments because you need to assign this like label to it, which I don't know why we even feel like we have to do that. But, you know, you'll see something and immediately good, bad, like, don't like, you know, whatever it is. And it's just because we have to assign that meaning to it. So that's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, and like you said, I think how we label things or how we judge things, like you mentioned, it's the same kind of thing, is just how we end up committing to how we're seeing life. You know, that's going to set the tone for the vibration. If I'm labeling everything in a negative way, it's going to set my vibration lower. That's just right. What it is. I see that's how I'm going to be experiencing. That's going to be my experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, you know, so when we just practice non-judgment and nothing is really good or bad, you know, I mean, we can't, you know, the funny part about this stuff is like, you can't fully understand it until you live it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is how the ego keeps us stuck, is because it will, you know, the words, you know, probably the hardest part of my job is trying to explain the inexplainable, you know? So like, I have to try to explain this stuff to people and you can't actually explain it.
Yeah.
No, it's just, so my words and sentences are just pointers in a direction of it. They're not actually it, you know? And so, and people have been saying that for thousands of years about spiritual information. It's like, I think it's in the Tao Te Ching. They say, if you can name it, that's not it.
Mm.
You know, wow. So it's, if you can label it, then another way to come at it is like, I think it might've been Tolle that came at it this way, that says, like, as soon as you label something, you minimize it, you take away its essence. You put it into a box of a mental concept of what it is. And that mental concept it can't encapsulate the essence of something.
Right.
This is why, like, one of a good practice to connect to nature or the universe is to go out in nature and not label things. You know, to just look at a tree without labeling it a tree. Just go, it's a, you know, and you can see it in children when they see, you know, a dragonfly for the first time and they don't know what it is. They're like, oh. You know, it's overpowering because they're connecting with the essence of something else that's alive. And it, you know, and there's no words to describe it, so you can't label it. There's no mental concept yet, so they're actually seeing the essence of it. It's beautiful, you know. We can do that. Like, you know, we have to unlearn to be able to do what children do naturally.
Yes, I had this conversation today. That's so soothing. Like, I could deal with kids all day. Adults, I gotta get them to unlearn all this stuff, and we gotta like. deal with all these things. Kids, it's just like, it's easy because they don't come with those prejudgments and all that mental and emotional baggage, you know.
Adults, exactly.
You gotta like, they think they're, it's like the same, you're starting from the same place, only you think you're right.
I had to learn,
like, I don't know anything. Like,
I had to learn to enjoy dragonflies, because when I was a kid, like, I remember laying in a lawn chair with a friend in the backyard, and a dragonfly came and landed on me, and I didn't notice. And my friend saw it and decided to scare the crap out of me. So they said I think they swatted it off me or something. And they're like, oh my God, Glenn, that was close. I just saved your life. I'm like, what? And they're like, those things, what they do is they land on you, and while your eyes are closed or you're sleeping, they sew your fingers together.
What?
Oh yeah. And I was little, and it scared me. I was like, oh my God, that thing almost sewed my fingers together.
You know? Oh man.
And, you know, I mean, like, how often do dragonflies?
I've never heard that in my whole life. Like,
no, they probably made it up on the spot. Who knows? Or it could be something that kids say.
Here I am, like, wanting to research it. It's like, just not.
Yeah, is that a thing? I wonder. I'm curious now, too. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah, I'm like, where did that come from?
I have no idea. And I haven't even thought about that example in probably 40 years. So
you mean already trying to assign meaning to it?
Yes. Yeah.
Just saying in real time.
Stop that. Yeah. Stop the squirrel. Wait, on the wheel. From?
Is that real? What does it mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I had to learn to enjoy dragonflies and understand that that's not actually what happened.
Right.
So, But yeah, we have all these things in our head. And I used to practice this a lot, you know, many years ago when I was first learning this stuff. I used to sit there and look at a plant and just not label it and connect and practice until I could connect with it and just feel something. And then once I could feel something, it was like, oh, it's like, that's the essence. I could connect with its essence. You know, then I started doing it with nothing, with no thing. So I started doing it with space. So I would like start when I would drive, I would do it with I drove from Rhode Island to Massachusetts and back every day for work. So I would do it on the signposts for the exits and stuff. And I would just pick a spot as I was driving up towards it that was like an angle. And I would pick an empty space like right there. So like inside the frame, just an empty space. And I would just focus on that. And I could feel this connection with the universe in my heart. And then I started doing it with inanimate objects, like with tables. I would connect to my coffee table. Like I was like, okay, now I'm supposed to be able to do this with anything, you know? Right. And I'd sit there and I'd just be like.
Oh, that would have been interesting to see from the outside. Yeah. But yeah. This is the coffee table sitting there.
This is the stuff that used to happen in my apartment.
I'm connecting with this. Can you?
I'm connecting. Yeah.
Can you give us some space?
Yeah. I'm connecting over here.
Yeah. Don't you see what's going on?
That's really cool, though.
I like that.
You can do it with anything. One thing that's cool to do it with is night sky. Like, you know, everybody goes out and looks at the stars.
Yeah.
When you go out and look at the stars, don't look at the space in between the stars. Because there's nothing to label.
Yeah.
Right? So you're looking at nothing. You're looking at no thing. So there isn't a thing to label. So you just do that. I do that almost every time I go out. When, you know, I'll look at the stars too, but then I'm like, oh, I got to remember to look at the space in between the stars, you know, look at the black, just the black space. And out here, there's so many stars, it's almost hard to find one. It's like everywhere you look, there's these tiny little stars even further when you focus, you know.
Wow. You can find the black space out here in Philadelphia in the sky. Just the whole sky is lit up all the time.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You get the light. Pollution there. It's hard to see, but like, yeah. So, I mean, that's a really good way to do that. Is just, you just open your heart and you look at the space in between the stars. And it's just all of a sudden, if you just open and just stare at an empty space, there's no, your mind isn't labeling. And then all of a sudden you feel this connection because that, you know, they've proven this scientifically at this point, the nothing isn't nothing. It's actually energy. There is something there, and they've quantified it at this point, you know, that they know that all the blackness is not empty. It's not empty space. There's actually, you know, something to it. That's what we're connecting to, you know, but we can't label it. So we can feel, it's easier to feel that connection like that. It's easier to feel it with empty space. It's easier to feel it with living things. That especially when we don't label it, But it's, yeah, it's, I think inanimate objects were the hardest for me because it's just in your brain. You don't think it's alive. You don't think it has essence.
Yeah. Yeah. You're already, you know? You're like, you kind of probably feel a little silly and you're like, what, this is,
oh
like
yeah.
Talking to your coffee table and there's just a lot going on. And
well, I didn't confide in it, but
I like it. It, I like this technique. I think that, or this tool, because it reminds me, I mean, I just feel like the big essence in this is finding really simple ways to get you present.
Yeah. And it's just to bring you back. And yeah, because in the present moment, you know, that it is, it's basically the same thing. So when you bring yourself back into the present moment and you just stop and you're not, you know, you're not thinking about anything in the future. You're not thinking about anything in the past. You just, you're not labeling anything, right? You're not judging anything.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you start feeling that sensation in your heart. That's connection. Like that's how I meditate. You know, like I like information flows and I find myself just knowing things. That's the two ways I work. Like I don't see things. Sometimes I'll hear voices, but it's rare. So I don't usually hear information. I don't usually see information. Me, the way I work is mostly feeling and flow. So when I'm speaking, information comes out my mouth that I don't, like I'm not thinking and then speaking. It's just going. So I don't know what the hell I'm going to say next. So that's my flow. And then I feel a lot, you know, like if I'm doing Reiki on somebody or if just anything, a lot of what I do is through feel. So it's, that is how I actually meditate most of the time. I don't actually try to still my mind. Usually I try to feel the, I just try to still myself until I feel a positive sensation in my chest. And that's love. That's connection. That's, and then I just try to maintain that. You know, if I'm meditating for 10 minutes, I try to maintain that feeling of connection for 10 minutes. And it's also, you can bring that out. It's a good way to bring it out into your life too, because you can do that with anything. Like, you know, you can call it staying present. You can call it staying connected. You can call it meditation. You can call it whatever you want. But if you have that feeling, you're in the present moment. You're not, you know, and you can learn to function like that. So you can learn by doing physical activity, by brushing your teeth, you know, like this is talk about silly things I've done over the years. You know, this, I've done it brushing my teeth. I've done it drinking water. I've done it, you name it, the silly thing that, and I've probably done it with that. But like, I'll sit there and I'll be like, okay, well, I'm going to try to stay connected while I grab this bottle of water. So I'll get connected. I'll be like, okay. Oh, I lost it. Oh, okay. Like I didn't lose it then, but that's normally how it would happen. Yeah. As soon as I'd stop moving my hand, all of a sudden I'd lose that feeling in my heart. And I'd be like, oh no, wait. And I'd start over. And after about 10 times, I'd finally be able to get my hand to the bottle of water and back without losing that sensation.
Mm.
You know, then you learn how to drink without losing it. You know, this is all the practice that I used to do to just learn how to stay in the present moment, learn how to stay connected and function in life. You know, it is possible. Yeah. Now it's hard for me when I get on the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not when I'm with a client, it's not. But like if I'm doing work on a computer,
and
technology have not been getting along lately. So as soon as I get on my computer, my dog goes in the other room.
Because you're so angry.
No, she's like, no, I'm not. Yeah, I know how he gets. I'm not gonna be around that energy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Like, She'll be sleeping on the couch. I'll go hop on the computer. All of a sudden I see her hop off the couch and go in the bedroom.
She's out. Like, she's not for the energy.
No, she's like, honestly. I know how he gets with that. I'm out.
It's funny.
Let me know when you're done.
Right. Right. Basically. Yeah.
So I'm going to look at some of the comments. So Bill is watching. Hey, Bill. I was talking to Bill earlier. Yeah, all the stuff in between things. Love. That's what it is. It's, you know, that's what we're connecting to. That's the energy of the universe. It's love. Same with the blue in between the clouds. Yeah, that's a good example. You can connect with the blue in between the clouds. See, our attention, you see all these examples?
Yeah.
Well, it's exactly what you said, Aubrey. Our brain wants to identify with an object. It doesn't pay attention to the nothingness. You know, if people walk into a room, and there's one picture on the wall, most people are going to look at the picture. They're not going to look at the wall.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just, that's how we are programmed, and we can unprogram that. To some degree, I mean, you know, to some degree, it's okay to look at a freaking picture if it's the only thing on the wall.
I mean, there's only so much you can't
right.
You know, notice something, but we can be conscious of how we label it.
Yeah, we don't have to get ridiculous with that. I mean, we can still live, you know, but it's all the things that we don't normally look at. It's the space in between the things. Because our attention is drawn to things, you know. This is how magic works, you know, like magicians.
Yeah,
that's what they do. They just distract you. Like, you know, I watched one show where these magicians were showing like how they did things.
Yeah.
And I think I'm, you know, especially if I focus, I think I'm pretty observant.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I can kind of break out of that pattern. And they're like, they do a scene, they do something. And then they go back and they say, oh, did you notice that this happened? And I'm like, oh, my God, no. I didn't even know you did that. Yeah. You know? And then they show it. They replay it after they tell you what they did. They replay it again. And, like, you see some guy come in the scene with the other two people and take his hat off and replace it with another hat. Wow. And you didn't even freaking notice they did that.
I don't know if I'm okay with watching those videos. It's
was why I was like, friend. I was like, they're playing me. I rewound the TV. I was like, did they like that didn't actually happen. I rewound it and it actually did. I was like, damn it.
Wow.
It was crazy. Wow. So, you know, what they do is they learn to, they know how people's brains work and what captures their attention. Once their attention is captured, then, you know, this hand's doing something else.
Yeah. Yeah. So everything works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sleight of hand. Right. Yeah, it's Saul. Can't believe I'm watching this live for the first time. This is awesome. I'm hearing exactly what I need to hear. That's cool. And an emoji. But for some reason, this is kind of funny. I'm going to mention it. Just because, like, I'm imagining what they did is they put an emoji, and instead of the emoji popping through, it says face-red-heart shape.
I think it's either the one with the hearts or the one with the heart eyes. So either way, it's a positive.
Either way, I appreciate
emoji.
It.
Either way, I'm going to assign a positive label to that emoji.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. Way to judge it. Nicely done. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and Bill, pleasure versus enjoyment. Pleasure is a high, enjoyment is significance. Yes, I agree with that. Zig Ziglar, yeah, he's got some good quotes. I agree with that, but the thing, like, whenever I talk about this stuff, I usually explain it a little bit more than that. And the reason I do is because we have everybody has different terms for different things. And sometimes we use them in other ways. Like, and many years ago, I tried locking in on a particular word. Like, no, happiness means this and pleasure means this. And then you go out in life and you have different conversations and people interchange the meaning and stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, 2 years later, I'm saying pleasure is this. And I'm like, oh, wait, I assigned pleasure to something.
Right.
So now I'm just like, I'll just explain it. Yeah. You know, momentary or permanent. You know, one is fleeting and temporary in the temporal zone of the earth, and one is eternal and can last forever. And that's, you know.
That's the difference.
That's the difference. No matter what word you choose.
I feel like our society is just so caught up in like momentary pleasure or that momentary satisfaction. Let me get him out of here. Goodbye. he just thinks he's like the star of the show.
Yeah. Maybe he is.
I just think like with social media and everything, just that instant gratification, you know, so we're so much more as a society as a whole likely to jump for that feel good in the moment, high spike in dopamine type of feeling. But the spike, if it's the higher the spike, I feel like it just, you know, you fall back down the quicker that you lean into that. And so we need a more sustainable energy source.
Right, exactly. And
sustainable and solid.
We get it. And we know that we need something sustainable. Like unconsciously, we want something sustainable. You know, we want something we can depend on. We want something consistent. We don't like not, you know, when we're lacking that sense of peace, we yearn for it.
Yeah.
So but what happened is people get caught up in the loop, you know, of pleasing the ego because it's easy and it's simple. Oh, shit. All you got to do is complain, you know, just complain about anything. And you get a little bit of a good feeling about yourself. You know, I'm better than whatever I'm complaining about. So there, you know, and we feel a little bit better about ourselves. But the problem is 5 minutes later, we're back to not feeling that anymore. So we have to complain about something else or find some other way to either distract ourselves from the way we're feeling, which is our addiction to social media and a fast-paced life and the other 300,000 things that we're addicted to. You know, we either distract ourselves or we give ourselves a little pump, a little ego pump.
Yeah.
You know, but either way, it's just, it's not sustainable and it's not, you know, so we just get addicted to that. It's the, you know, it's trying to fill a giant hole with the idea of dirt. That's how I've explained it before. You know, it's just it's the idea of dirt. It's not actual dirt, you know, so we're not filling the hole.
Yeah.
Because every time, you know, you give yourself an ego stroke and you go, oh, I feel better about myself. And then 5 minutes later, you go, so I'm feeling pretty good about myself, huh? Wait, no, I'm not. Why am I not feeling good about myself? I was a minute ago. I just put some dirt in there. I put some feel good dirt and now there's nothing. Well, now I must do something to feel good about myself again. You know, and yeah,
it's almost like sand just running through your fingers.
Yeah, there's just no actual substance.
A lot of running, and imagine like just the energy exertion from that is exhausting in itself.
Yeah, and then everybody goes, you know, you listen to most people in society, and they're like, "Oh my God, I'm so tired." Like it's a badge of honor, you know. And they're like, "Oh, you must be just distracting yourself really well," and spending a lot of energy pumping up your ego. Congratulations.
Right. Yeah. It's, because I think that we just think that if we say that, people will assume that we're doing great or something. I don't know.
Busyness is a badge of honor.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know,
it's funny because I haven't watched really watched TV in many years and, you know, a little bit of stuff, movies, I guess, if anything, but now that I actually got a TV after a couple of years up here, I'm watching sports and sports has commercials and I'm not used to seeing commercials, you know? So like I was just watching a commercial. I put the Bruins game on this afternoon and this commercial came on, and I watch it on the New England Sports Network. So they have all the commercials from like Massachusetts area. So I think it was Bernie and Phil's, which is like a restaurant, I mean, a furniture store up in New England. Mm-hmm. And that they, I think that's who it was, or it might've been somebody else. Anyway, it's some New England furniture store. And this guy comes on and he goes, life is stressful enough. You shouldn't have to worry about this. And I was just, as soon as, like, as soon as he opens his mouth, that's what he opens with, you know? And I'm like, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That, like, we just walk around saying these horrible things about life, like it's true, one, and that it's factual and that it's accepted and it's socially acceptable, and everybody just, you know, yeah. And we just say, like, life is stressful. No, it's not. Life is not stressful. What's stressful is you not being able to process life correctly. That's what causes stress. Life itself is fine. Life does not induce stress. You know, life doesn't, like, life has been flowing for billions of years. It hasn't caused anything else stress. I haven't seen a stressed out turtle. Like, you know, like, I don't see any, you know, rocks and freaking therapy.
Yeah.
Like, nothing else on the planet is stressed except people with a mind and an ego. We create the stress. We create it. It's not induced upon us. It's not some external force that comes at us that we just have to constantly fight against until we die.
Right. You know? We signed a contract when we were born or something that I agree to be stressed AF for the rest of my life.
Yes.
And I'm going to complain about it all the time.
All the time.
That's all the time.
And I'm going to sell furniture through the complaining of it. And make millions.
Including coffee tables, just saying.
And I'm still going to be stressed.
Yeah.
Because life is stressful. It's like, no, it's how we process things that causes stress. If we're processing them in an inappropriate way, then it causes stress, you know. So, but, you know, back to the non-judgment thing, you know, this is, of course, I didn't know where this was going to go because I never freaking do. But, like, I kind of like the way this went because it gave us a lot of other little techniques that are in alignment with basically the topic of this podcast, which, you know, which is dealing with the energy shifts and or life through non-judgment.
Yeah.
You know, just practicing. I mean, you could, and I don't care like where you are in your life. Like if you're, you know, doing spiritually well, if you're on a spiritual path, but you're getting donkey kicked all over the place with these energy shifts, or if you're just beginning and you don't know what you're doing, or you're not even interested in spirituality at all, but for some reason you find yourself listening to this podcast, I don't care what the scenario is. Every single person, because I've done this in multiple different scenarios in my life over the last 19 years. And like, it benefits us always. Mm-hmm. Like if you take 1 week and make this your focus, and I mean, focus on it. The two things that I usually do when I try to focus on something for a period of time is one, I pray. I don't pray for a lot, but I do pray for awareness because I believe that, you know, there's, whether you believe in the universe or God or whatever, it doesn't really matter. But like there's, I always like looking at other sides of things, you know? So there's a famous saying that, you know, God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. Mm. Right. And I'm like, okay. You know, hey, if I can do it, then why would God do it for me?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I get it, but it feels like most things out there that are spit out, it seems like it's part of it, but maybe not all of it. So I look at the other side. God will do for us what we can't do for ourselves. That's something that nobody talks about or thinks about.
Right.
You know, when I put those two together, now all of a sudden I start seeing, I'm like, okay, now this starts to make more sense. Like now I kind of get it. like God will help, or the universe will support me and help me if I'm incapable of doing something. But I'm responsible for my own life. So I'm not supposed to sit around saying, hey, drop $1 million in my mailbox, please. Like, you know, it ain't going to happen. So it's like, okay, that I can understand how that works. So what I do is I pray for awareness. Because if I'm not aware of something, how can I change it?
Right.
If I'm not aware of something, how can I make the adjustment? You know, and life is busy, so we do get distracted. So I do pray for awareness on different things, especially if there's something like this that I want to focus on. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I do is I set the intention and I say, okay, please, you know, I'm going to do my part. Every time the awareness comes into my head that I'm judging something, I'm going to stop, take a moment, even inside of my head, if I'm in the middle of a conversation or whatever, I'm not going to dismiss this awareness. I'm going to take a moment to say, oh, wait, I'm judging. I'm going to stop judging. Yeah. And just let that judgment kind of clear out of the forefront of my mind for a moment. Like I have to do that.
Yeah.
Because the universe can't climb inside of me and do that for me. So that's my responsibility, but I can't do that if I'm not even aware that it's happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's why I pray for awareness. So I pray for awareness, and then I make a commitment to myself that listen, you know, hey, you're whenever I ask the universe for something, I take that seriously. Like, and I'm kind of an extremist, so you might get a kick out of this. This is how I view it.
You know, I will.
How I view it, I take it to the extreme. So, like, I picture this loving God. Like, and I started this right when I got sober, when I was like a freaking mess. And then all of a sudden I blew open spiritually and all I could feel was love. So everything was so intense. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to pray for something, and like it really literally felt like God came in and saved my life. I was just filled with so much gratitude and love. So I was like, okay, if I pray for something and then I don't do my part, it's kind of like God coming in saying, hey, I love you. I'm going to give you a second chance at life. Here you go. You know, I'm going to take away all these 20 years of struggle and 35 years of dysfunction and pain that you've been walking in. And I'm going to open up your heart to experience love on a level that most people have never even experienced. And you're going to be able to help others. And I'm going to do all this stuff for you. And then it's kind of like me looking at God going, yeah, thanks, but F off.
Right. Yeah.
And spitting in his face. Going, yeah. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, pretty much the worst thing you could do.
Yeah, so that's the visual I gave myself.
Gotcha.
And I was like, geez, I don't want to do that. That sounds awful.
No.
Somebody's
no,
trying to be nice.
It's a two-part sequence. So, that's hilarious.
So that's how I envisioned it. So it made me take it seriously. And to this day, I don't necessarily go to that visual still. I mean, sometimes I do if I'm dragging my feet on something. But more so what I do is I just kind of get that, hey, this is important. Seriously, slow down and lock into this.
Yeah.
You know, like this, if you're asking for something, then you better honor it when it comes.
Yeah.
Because I caught myself not doing it. I caught myself going, oh, please give me awareness to help change this habit. And then every time the awareness came in, I was like, I'm too busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not right now. Maybe later. Mm. And I caught myself doing that. I'm like, whoa, dude, like,
yeah,
it's not how this works. You know. Yeah. So I get myself ready and really committed to no matter what's going on. I don't tell other people. I can be doing it inside my head without anybody else knowing. I can, when the awareness comes, I can finish the sentence that I'm saying if I'm in the middle of a conversation. And then while somebody else is talking, check out. on what they're saying and go focus inside of my head for a moment, you know, like inside your head, like 5 seconds inside your head is like 1 second in reality. You know, people don't even notice.
Seriously. Yeah. There's a lot of damage that can be done. beneficial route too. It could go either way.
Right.
It's all, where attention goes, energy flows.
Ooh, you got to have your own show now.
I'm just saying.
You're just spouting stuff like that. You can't just spout stuff like that and not have your own show.
This is enough.
But yeah, it's like, so we can make mental corrections and in our head, it feels like time has passed. But in reality, people don't even notice it usually. You know, it's like, because it was only like really a second in reality, but in our heads, like in our head, we can say, hey, wait a minute. I'm supposed to remove that label. Oh yeah. Okay. Okay. It's just blank now. Okay, cool. Like we can do that in our head silently, like in 2 seconds, you know, but it just took me 10 seconds to explain it, you know? So it's just faster inside, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, so I'll pray for awareness, then I make the commitment to follow through. So you do that for 1 week, I guarantee you your life's going to get better. You're going to feel more even keeled. You're going to feel more grounded, more centered. It's like, no matter where you are in your life or on your journey, it's going to benefit you just doing that for like 1 week consistently.
I'm going to try it this week.
Good. And I want everybody else to. And then email me with your results.
Starting tomorrow.
No, you have to wait a week. And this probably won't go out. This goes out on the other platforms, what, tomorrow? So that's like next week, I better get blown up with emails is what I'm saying.
There we go. Yeah. Listen. Okay.
There we go. All right, Denise is in, and Bill likes your quote, where attention goes, energy flows.
Yeah, I can't take credit for that. I don't even know where I heard that, but it's not my original quote, and I just said it because it makes a lot of sense to me, but probably from yoga or something. It makes sense.
Yeah, I've heard it before, too. I think I've heard Beck was say it. I think I've heard a lot of people say it.
Yeah.
Like, that's
it's like the greatest rhyme ever. Like, honestly,
yeah,
the simplest, most like easily understandable quote. That's just lovely. I love to use it. So thanks, Bill. Yeah. Enjoy.
When I first started teaching, I used to quote people all the time. Like I would talk normally, but then as soon as I'd finish saying something, I'd be like, well, I got that from Eckhart Tolle. I got that from Michael Bernard Beckwith. I got that from Deepak Chopra. I got that from Wayne Dyer. I got that. Yeah. And like, after a while, I was like, I was talking like so much of this stuff and doing, like, I would do that like 10, 15 times in a conversation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was like, it was so obvious that I caught myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think it might be time to stop quoting people.
Yeah.
And then I started looking and I realized that, like, this is the same stuff. Like, you know, where energy flows, where awareness goes, energy flows. Like, freaking Buddha probably said it first.
Oh, yeah. This is, probably said in a million different versions. And honestly, the whole purpose of this conversation you and I have been having, it all runs the same parallel. Like,
it is. It's all the same. All the stuff that I teach has been being taught for the last 100,000 years in one way, shape, or form. You know, it's nothing new. It's the same stuff Buddha taught. It's the same stuff Jesus taught. It's the same stuff, you know, all the sages taught. So it's, you know, there's nothing new. And we're going to say the same thing, sometimes with the same words, you know. And that was helpful. Like, I saw like Deepak and Eckhart and Beckwith. I actually saw them use this, not only the same point that they were making, but literally use the same exact words as each other. And I was like, oh, like, everybody does this.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we all talk. Yeah. I'm saying we, like, I'm on the same level as Deepak Chopra and Buddha. No, I just, we as a spiritual community.
We all say the same stuff. Yeah. And it's nothing new. And Deepak didn't come up with it.
Yeah.
And true creativity actually comes from the other side through us. So that ain't even ours either.
Yeah.
Like Einstein didn't come up with the theory of relativity.
Yeah.
You know, that was gifted to him from the universe.
Yeah.
He was just a channel that it came through, just like everything else. So, like, we don't even own the stuff that we come up with. So there.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm feeling pretty complete. How about you?
Yeah. No, I think we hit a lot of ground. We're right here. I don't know. Can we go over an hour if it's live?
Yeah, it's live. We can.
Oh, okay. I'm always like, I have this thing from the beginning, and you told me you were like, it cuts off at an hour. And so I'm like viciously just like, oh my gosh, it's going to cut off. But now that was for nothing. So, yep.
So you're feeling complete with no pressure.
Yeah.
Now that's better than feeling complete with pressure.
I'm feeling very complete. Nice. It's not like pressure. I just notice it. It's just I notice it. And it's like it becomes a subconscious thought, you know, because I just notice it now.
Me too. And it's the same with me. And I actually embraced it now because it's like, I think like going over an hour is too long anyway.
Yeah.
So now I'm kind of like, I'm trying to pull it back. It's just hard because once I start going and feeling the energy, you know, like I get high off this stuff. Like my energy goes up.
Yeah.
My body gets warm.
I'll be like shaking when I'm done these types of conversations. It's amazing because you can just feel that energy and how high you're vibrating. It's amazing. It's really cool. I really hope everyone gets to experience it.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. And I feel the same way. That's, you know, so I'm like, sometimes it's hard to stop because it's like, cool. All right. Well, Saul, welcome. This was Saul's first one, like I mentioned earlier. So welcome. And thanks for tuning in. Hopefully we'll see more of you and everybody else, Bill and Denise and Chris from Rhode Island was on here making some comments and, you know, so yeah, cool. Thank you. Thank you guys for watching and participating. I appreciate it. And that'll do.
That'll
do, donkey.
Winston has come to say goodbye to everyone.
All right, Winston. Wow. Goodbye. And he looked right at the camera.
Yeah.
Right after you said that. Like stoically,
he's like, goodbye.
It was like an Egyptian, like cat, you know, like a freaking queen going like, you may go.
Well, listen, that's pretty much it with cats.
Yes.
Sorry. Love it.
All right. Cool beans. Thanks everybody. Thank you, Aubrey.
I will try to
find the ending. There it is. All right. See ya.
Everyone. See ya.
Looking for more? Check out over 200 episodes of Life Lessons and Laughter, or click the link in the description of this episode to connect with Glenn directly.